Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Then the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, born this night in Bethlehem. The annual argument in the Brown household is colored or white Christmas tree lights. It's old enough by now that it's a ritual argument, more of an inside joke than an actual argument. But it's also because I stole a march and played Darth Vader, my son's come to the dark side of the colored Christmas tree lights. The vote is always 4-1, unless Ellen puts them up and nobody else is around violating the family quorum rules. But Ellen might have opened a new front in that war this year. Our old tree topper, an angel, has been getting a little worn out, and I wanted a new angel. Ellen prefers a star, and both are perfectly within the veil of proper choices, just so long as we want to exclude the bows or anything like that. But we actually have gone a couple of years with that old angel, because every time we found something new, one of us would find some reason not to like it. And this year, I think I heard the real reason. Ellen blurts out to me, "You have the weirdest taste. You want colored lights and Baroque crimson angels. They don't go together. You know what that is? It's white trash." There's something in this world that wants everything to know its place. If you want Baroque angels, you should have crisp white lights and preferably crystal and brass ornaments. If you must go with colored lights, then get out the tinsel, the gaudy star, and wooden ornaments. And that desire is not limited to Christmas tree aesthetics. We live in gated communities, homey suburbs, bohemian enclaves, or city blocks. If you're in a bohemian enclave, you better not put up a creche unless it has an ironic component, like a zombie wise man. The great Christmas light fight is safely a suburban thing. While gated communities maintain riders on deeds to prevent just such outbreaks of gaucheness. We wouldn't know what to do with Will Rogers, the cowboy intellectual. Our world would say, "Choose one." As if reflection on animals and nature hasn't inspired much of the great thought of all times. Likewise, it would rather forget a living John Polkinghorne, elementary particle physicist and member of the Royal Academy, who put down physics to become an Anglican priest. There is a never-ending supply of books maintaining that Shakespeare, suburban, uneducated family man, could not possibly have written Shakespeare. Or we could talk about Andrew Luck, the first round pick in the football quarterback, who is infamous in the NFL for being an actual graduate of Stanford and recommending a book on concrete. Or likewise, Dana Gioia or A.M. Juster, two of America's best living poets, who enjoyed respectively being an MBA executive at a food company and the bureaucratic head of the Social Security Administration before they were outed and made to choose. The world, our human world, wants things to line up according to reason. And it will try to force you into those molds. But the world that God made is far stranger. It's a world where the greatest announcement of royal birth ever given is given to shepherds. Angels from the realms of glory find a bunch of rough men watching sheep. Glory to God and peace on earth. The greatest message ever given to the world is delivered at its very edge, not to Caesar in Rome, but to shepherds in Judea. God's creation is a world where the Savior, the Christ and Lord, is born in the city of David. Little more than a village, claiming descent from a king of a throne vacant for 500 years. God's creation is a child born to a virgin. God's creation is the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. As a general rule, are Baroque angels with white lights and crystal prettier? Yes, Martha Stewart knows what she's doing. As a general rule, are we better off following the laws of aesthetics and reason? Yes, because the law is good and wise. Not doing so ends up with a mess. Whether it's Baroque angels and colored lights, or just a life of dissipation, loneliness, and angst. The law, which all of our human laws and customs reflect in greater or lesser degrees, was given to guide us and instruct us. A lamp to our feet and a light to our path. A fence for the sheep. But Martha Stewart wound up in prison. Sheep still wander off and around fences, and right things lead to disasters all the time. Picasso led to modern art. Removing dictators led to ISIS. The logic of economic fairness led to the gulag. The law always accuses. And the law, taken in our crooked hands, kills. That law cannot save. The only thing that can save is grace. And grace is messy. It scrambles our rules. It's paradoxical. Won't grace just multiply the wrong? Won't you end up with Baroque angels next to colored lights? Possible. But God thought it was worth the risk to send the multitude of the heavenly host, a choir of Baroque angels, to sing to a bunch of wooden ornament shepherds. God thought it was worth the risk to send the shepherds a sign, the Savior, the Anointed One, the Lord, in diapers, in a cattle stall. God's greatest gifts to us come in those moments of odd juxtaposition, of paradox. Exactly when we think this is not how it's supposed to look, that's when we need to look for God and what He is doing. Those messes are when grace enters our world. When we see the signs and embrace that messy paradox of grace, we leave making it known to us, making it known to all what has been made known to us, glorifying and praising God for all that we have seen and heard. For then, that through that grace, this one becomes our Savior and our Christ and our Lord. When we accept His grace, wooden shepherds get to join Baroque angels. Humble shepherds get to be the heralds of peace and joy. The Lord is born, just like it was told to me. Amen.